Let us go into our study in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. Turn to the 9th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Left off with that 20th verse last week, but I do want us to begin reading the 19th verse. The 19th verse of the 9th chapter of 1 Corinthians. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in the race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. That's wonderful thoughts there for us. Every one of us to realize how important it is first to be a Christian and then to use the offices that God's placed us in, use it for His glory, for the salvation of souls. The Apostle Paul never ceased preaching Christ after God saved him. Never ceased. He was in prison. He was beaten. He suffered. But he preached Christ, no matter what condition prevailed at the time, who it might have been, what governor was in charge. He preached Christ. Place him anywhere, he preached Christ before Felix, before Agrippa, before the kings and queens and rulers of the earth. He preached. It was an important business to him. And like last week, we showed you how the Apostle Paul had a missionary spirit. And that should be the spirit of everyone that's saved. And I believe that's the spirit of this church as a whole, of this ministry. It's a missionary spirit. And then often you sit down, you wonder, am I doing anything for the Lord? I question myself, am I doing anything for the Lord, for His glory, in proclaiming the gospel? And then just get to thinking about all that the Apostle Paul did and others before us. See how our late pastor labored for the souls of men, preaching the gospel, sacrificing here and there. And then I wonder many times, am I doing anything? Of course, I'm not doing in comparison what others have done. But every man his own gift. Every man his own gift. I guess I'm not the driver like my last pastor, like our late pastor was. He had a drive about him. He couldn't sit still. He just had to keep going all the time. I don't have that drive like he had. And I know many times since he's been gone to glory, I've been asking the Lord, do it again. Do it again. Well, he'll do it. He'll suit me for the office and give me the gift that he wants me to have. I know I cannot be like Paul in one sense of the word, and then again I am. I'm preaching the truth. I'm preaching Christ. I'm not compromising the Word of God. But in my own peculiar way, you might say, I'm proclaiming it, teaching it, and I love to do it. Now, I want us to look at verse 21. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. What does the apostle mean when he says to them that are without law? That is the Gentile nations. They didn't know anything about the law. They were not under the law as the Jews were. They didn't have, the law of Moses was not given unto them, but to the Jews. I wanted to turn to Romans, the second chapter, if you want to, or just listen to the Word of God. The second chapter, the 12th verse. The second chapter, begin reading with the 12th verse. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, the law was not given to the Gentiles, but was given to the Jews. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the mean, while accusing or else excusing one another, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Now, I want us to look at this next thought here as without law. To them that are without law. Let me say here. Now, one time the Apostle Paul was under the law, but after God saved him, God delivered him from under the condemnation or the legality of the law and the sentence of the law. And if he tells us here, he says, I became as under the law. He said, I became as under the law, even though God delivered me from under the law, the curse of the law. I became as under the law. I became as a Jew to those that were Jews. Well, you may ask the question, if the Apostle Paul was not under the law, well, where was the Apostle? Where was his position? Well, let us continue in verse 21. Being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ. And that's the believer's position. Under the law to Christ. Paul was not under the law, nor was he without law. He was neither subject to some legal ritual, nor was he lawless. Where did he stand? Well, he stood between the two. Being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ. In other words, I am under law to God, being legitimately subject to Christ. Every believer occupies the same position, neither under the law nor without law, but legitimately subject to Christ. There's some interesting thoughts here tonight. I want you to hear. I know we sing that song, Free from the Law. Oh, glorious redemption. Yes, that's true. Free from the law. I wonder how many of us have given it a thought. I'm sure you have. You know the Lord. But how many have thought about now what it means to be free from the law? Well, it's free from the condemnation of the law, free from the guilt of the law, free from the penalty of the law, the judgment of the law. But we are subject to the law of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's remember that. Which means that we're subject to do His will. Now, Christ said, I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it, to keep it. And we do not frustrate the law in any sense, as taking it upon ourselves to do as we please because we're free from the law of condemnation of sin and death. No. Well, there's something here I want you to hear tonight. Paul was very conscious of this. He was not under the legality of the law, under the condemnation of the law, but he was subject to the law of the Lord Jesus Christ, as every believer is, if you know the Lord. Now, Paul was very conscious of this. He would not leave room to have it supposed for a moment that he disregarded all law. He was bound by a higher law than those ceremonial observances which were done away with in Christ. Now, we should be very careful if we say we are not under the law, which is true, lest we are found to be lawless. Which is, they call it antinomianism. And do you know what that word antinomianism means? It has reference to one who maintains that Christians are free from the moral law by the dispensation of grace set forth in the gospel. Now, whatever privileges the gospel has introduced, it has not set us free from the restraints and obligations of the law of God. Now, remember that. Christ came to magnify, strengthen, and to honor the law, not to destroy it. To be under law to Christ is different from being under the law. One who is justified in Christ walks worthy of Christ and imitates Him in doing the will of God. Now, this is different from one serving the law as a means of trying to be justified before God. I want us to turn into Galatians. The epistle to the Galatians in the 3rd chapter, as we take our time here and make this the Word of God clear, Galatians, the 3rd chapter, begin with the 10th verse. Listen to it. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, which shows that you cannot be justified by keeping the law or trying to keep it, doing your best, the best as you can. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Look at 13th verse now. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, what kind of a law did he redeem us from? From the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And our precious Lord hanged there and bore the curse for us. He became sin for us who knew no sin. He kept the law in every respect. And he alone could keep it. You and I cannot. Don't try to. But look to Christ who kept it for you. Who the law said, curses everyone that hangeth on a tree. He became a curse for you and I. He took all the guilt and the punishment that the law demanded. And we became the righteousness of Christ in him. I want to look at now at the 22nd verse of 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. The 22nd verse, listen to it. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now what does the Apostle Paul mean here? To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. That is, in ministering the Word of God, Paul delighted to enter into the circumstances of the people to whom he spoke. To enter into their circumstances. To the weak. And we can say the awakened sinner. The weak, awakened sinner, God has awakened to the weak believer. Now, let me repeat that again. To the weak became I as weak that I might gain the weak. That is, in ministering the Word of God, Paul delighted to enter into the circumstances of the people to whom he spoke. I believe the apostle had in mind those who had not strength to believe and to receive the gospel. You know, Romans 5:6 tells us that when we were without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And then, again, I believe he has reference to the weak and the superstitious believers of that day who continued with a lot of superstitious ideas. As we studied in the chapters before about meat unto idols and other places in God's Word, in the epistles, where they observed days and months and years and this feast and that and so on. He was thinking about the superstitious believers who were delivered from Judaism, as well as the unconverted Jews and Gentiles. The apostle did not adapt himself to all men. All men. It's readily understood here as we study. He adapted the Jewish way of life in the company of Jews. But not before all of them. For many of them were obstinate They were full of pride, envy, hateful, and would have liked to have seen Christian freedom suppressed altogether. So he did not adapt himself to those type of men. He was thinking about that weak individual, that helpless individual. He was entering into their circumstances. In Matthew 15:14, Christ said, "Let them alone. Let them alone. They are blind and leaders of the blind," talking about the Jews of his day. "Therefore, we must adapt ourselves to the weak, but not to the stubborn." There's not much you can do with an individual who is stubborn and persistent in their stubbornness. No matter how much you try to adapt yourself to them, it doesn't pay off. You might say they're just still stubborn. Just like an old stubborn mule. You can't do anything with a stubborn mule. And you try to adapt yourself to a stubborn mule, you'll get yourself all hepped up. And you'd want to kill it. But you know, that's true. You cannot adjust yourself to people who are in rebellion. You can't adapt yourself to those who are persistent in their rebellion. Now, they may be in rebellion and not know it, and may be crying out against it. And they might want some help. So the Apostle Paul adapted himself to them, you see, to help them. But not that individual who's persistent in his rebellion or in his stubbornness and his lying. And that individual doesn't need any help. He's not even seeking help. But I like to talk to individuals who are in certain predicaments and circumstances. They need help. And I'd like to advise them in one way or another. Give them advice and tell them what to do as the Lord leads me. I've had that to do, and I praise the Lord for it, that there are people who have confidence in me. And, of course, I cannot answer all the questions, and I'll tell them. I'll say, now, if I can help you, I'll help you. If I can't, well, I'll just I'll look to the Lord for you and pray for you. At the same time, you look to Him. But the Apostle Paul knew the people of his day. He knew the Jews as they were. He knew the Gentile nations, the heathens. God gave him wisdom in knowing how to deal with all classes of people, all types of people. And I believe the Lord, He gives that to each of His servants who He puts in the forefront, that they may be helpful. The Word of God tells us He gives us teachers and pastors who will lead the flock. There'll be a shepherd. And why not have confidence in that individual? Why take it upon yourself, well, I don't think he can help me. Well, that's all right if you're looking to the Lord and the Lord has brought you to the place to release you of all human help, all human possibilities, and you're made to look to the Lord. But there are individuals still struggling. They're still weak. And they need help. They're like the little babes. They need help. Praise the Lord when you see that. When you recognize yourself as a little babe and you don't know everything and you need help. So the Apostle Paul adapted himself to each situation as it did arise. And we have the story here. It's a good lesson for all of us to learn. To adapt ourselves to certain conditions that exist with both saint and sinner. He adapted the Jewish way of life in the company of Jews. But like I just stated, not before all of them, because they wouldn't hear him. There were many in his day that were trying their best to suppress Christianity. And you'll find the same thing today. You can't do anything with those people. I'm not going to adapt myself to them and joining their company and their ranks. They are blind and leaders of the blind, the Lord tells us. To the weak became I as weak that I might gain the weak. I became weak. I sat down right down alongside that weak sinner. Though the Apostle Paul was well educated in the schools of learning and in the Jewish courts, he was in the upper class, you might say, but he was able to adapt himself to the weak, to the ignorant, to the poor, and yet sit alongside the philosophers and the learned men and adapt himself to their way of their customs and their differences. To the weak became I as weak that I might gain the weak. That is, the Apostle Paul entered into their condition in one way or another. The Apostle did not try to astonish people with his eloquence. He gave them the Word of God to convict and help and bless and cheer and make things plain to them that he might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. And that was the desire as from the heart of the Apostle Paul to see sinners saved. And as I stated last week, that's a missionary, a true missionary spirit. I am made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. That is, within the limits of truth. Now you get that. I am made all things unto all men that I might save some within the limits of truth. Now, Paul never yielded in the smallest measure to anything that was in itself wrong. In this, his conduct was directly the opposite to that of those who accommodate themselves to the sins of men or to the superstitious observances of false religions. Paul accommodated himself to all things as far as it could be done with a good conscience. He would not sin against God to save the souls of men, but he would cheerful and readily deny himself. That's what he did. He denied himself. The rights of God he could not give up, but he might resign his own. And he very often did so for the good of others. The Apostle Paul became all things to all men that he might by all means, that is all lawful means, save some. Which means save a few out of the multitudes that were going down to the pit. It follows from this that we should make every effort to reach the hearts of men with the gospel. We should deny ourselves and give ourselves to prayer and to privation, that we may save some at least from ruin. What the Apostle Paul has just concluded proves that the doctrine of universal salvation is not true. There's no such thing as universal salvation. If it were, what use would there have been in these efforts of Paul? There's a teaching abroad in the land that every individual will eventually be saved. Well, if that were so, wouldn't you think that the Apostle Paul would have known that? I know in discussing, I think I brought this out before in the conversation with someone at work. We got along this line. And we're talking about the Apostle Paul. And he turned around to me, he said, well, didn't the Apostle Paul said, I'm become all things unto all men that I might save? No, I've become all things unto all men. And I said, that's true. He certainly did. But I said, do you read further? Have you read further to find out what he said after he did say that? He said that I might win some. That I might win some to Christ. And his eyes is lit up and he said, that's so. You know, that's true. That's so. Now, I asked him, I said, what does that tell us? And I just quoted from the Apostle Paul. I said that he might win some. And I said, now, you know, he means that all will not be saved, but some will be saved. Some will be saved. Now, he proves that the doctrine of universal salvation is not true. If it were, what use would there have been in these efforts of Paul to suffer as he did for the elect's sake? He said, I endure all things. For who? For the elect's sake. A special company of people whom God had chosen before the world. If it were to be, if all were to be saved, why should he deny himself and labor and toil to save some? Why? Why do we labor? Why do we labor and toil and suffer much in the flesh to see some brought to know the Lord? Not everyone will be saved. There's not too many being saved today. And like our late pastor used to say, it's like going pole fishing. You might catch one, you might not catch one. You might fish all day and not catch one. You might get lots of nibbles. But how few are being saved today? How few? How few will be saved? And we brought out in the Sunday school lesson this morning, strive ye to enter into the straight gate. Strive ye to enter into the straight gate. Strive. Are you striving? Oh, my friends, maybe perhaps you're saying in your heart tonight, God's Word says there are few that are saved. Well, I'll be one of the few. I know years ago I came to that conclusion when God was dealing with me and sinners were being saved. I'll be one of the few. The Bible tells me that few will be saved, then I'll be one of the few. By the grace of God, I'm going on. By the grace of God, I'm coming to Christ. Few. Now, the majority will be eternally lost. That's the Word of God. Many are called, but few are chosen. Why should a man make a constant effort to save a few at least, if he well knew that all were to be saved? See, we're preaching the gospel. I don't know who's God, who God's elect are. We preach the gospel. But God's elect will hear. God's elect will come. God's elect will be put into Christ. They will be saved eternally. And we continue on. Otherwise, let's close the doors if everybody's going to be saved. Huh? If everybody's going to heaven, let's just close the door. Why strive? Why preach? Why toil? Why worry? Why become anxious? Why deprive ourselves of things? Of leisure hours. Why? Why put up with all the heartaches and all the rebellion and all the stubbornness if everybody's going to be saved? But brother, everybody will not be saved. Let's get that thing right in our hearts. Few that be saved. Many shall come to me in that day saying, Lord, Lord, haven't I done this in thy name? Haven't I cast out devils in thy name?
Haven't I done this great miracle, this great work in your name? Haven't I gotten this great religious gathering and promoted this in thy name? The Lord said he'll turn to them and say, I don't know you. Depart from me. I never knew you. I don't know you. So let me repeat again in our closing remarks. Why should a man make a constant effort to save a few at least, if he well knew that all were to be saved? Paul did not know or believe that all men would be saved. But if it were true, he would have been quite as likely to have known it as the modernists of the day advocate and defend this damnable doctrine that every individual will be saved. Then, like I said, we just sooner close up. But no, we go on preaching the gospel, praising the Lord that He saved us. He called us with that effectual call that brought us to Christ. And then given us the message, good news to the hearts of guilty sinners, and laying the claims of Christ upon every individual's heart, their responsibility to get to the Lord, to come to know Him as their Lord and Savior. But you can trust Him, trust His grace to bring you through. Like that song we sang this morning, yield not to temptation. And at the closing of it, it said, He'll carry you through. That's all of grace, my friend. Salvation is all of grace. He'll carry you through. He begins it, and it winds up in heaven, in glory land. He'll carry you through. And there's many things we must shun, like that song says, shun evil compassions. Separate ourselves from the ungodly. No matter how much Satan may attack us, you look to the Lord for victory, for strength, for His grace. His grace, my friends, is sufficient for our every need. The Apostle Paul knew that. And that's the reason why he was able to adapt himself to every circumstance, everything, for the glory of God, to the salvation of sinners. But he did not compromise the gospel. He did not compromise with individuals in their sins. He laid the claims of Christ upon their hearts. He did it in love, and many times he had to use the rod. But he still did it in love. And I praise the Lord for this study here. And therefore, when we read this portion here, he said, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. He said that I might all by all means save some. He was a soul winner. Winning souls unto the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a soul winner. And He will receive the soul winner's reward. The crown, the soul winner's crown. And so let's be about our Father's business and receive strength from these portions, from this portion of God's Word tonight. Receive strength and encouragement. Not that this shouldn't discourage any of us, but should encourage us to go on, continue fighting the good fight of faith, preaching the gospel. Some will hear it. Some will come. Some will be saved. Some will be rejoicing in Christ. And may it be you, my friends. I'm glad to have our radio listeners in on us tonight, our missions, our families,
And God bless you. Praying for all of our young people, the young people in your homes and here. And I believe, I praise the Lord for the way He's dealing with many of our young people. And they come to see where real joy and real pleasures are. You can't find them in the world, but you can in Christ. I'm glad you came tonight. I've said everything I could say at the time. The Lord gave us a gracious day. This Sunday week from now, we won't have any services next Sunday night, but Sunday week we'll continue with the 23rd verse. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. All right, it was good for you to come, and God bless you. Let's stand as we dismiss. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank Thee tonight for this study of Thy Word, how true, how encouraging it is. And Father, You said many are called, but few are chosen. And, let Thy grace will enable us day by day, and not to live for the world, but to live, our Father, for Thee, to live for Thy people, that others may come under the influence of the gospel and be saved. We thank You for this ministry and for this people. Bless them during the week. Give them strength to look to You and trust You, especially the awakened sinners in our midst who are going through fiery trials and peculiar circumstances. But our Lord, we know You have grace for each and every problem. And may they look to Thee and call upon Thy name and have confidence in knowing that Thou art able to do for them which they are unable to do for themselves. And Father, lead us through the week as we prepare for Fellowship Day next Sunday. May there be a host of Thy people here, and we'll have one grand fellowship. Give us the day You want us to have, whether it's rain or sunshine, as long as the sunshine of glory of Thy countenance smile upon us. Lead us and guide us. We'll give Thee all the praise and honor and glory. For Christ's sake we ask it. Amen.